We're holding on Yud Beis Amud Beis, about two thirds of the way down the Amud, 13 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, a machloikas Reb Meir and the Chachamim, if a person says to a shliach, bring this, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shichru to my eved. So in effect, the shliach. Well, the question is the shliach koine it on behalf of the wife or the eved? Now that it takes effect, it doesn't yet until the eved or the isha actually receives it. But can we say that the shliach has acquired it on their behalf to the extent where the master or the husband now can't change his mind? Reb Meir says yes in both cases. The Chum say no, not in the case of an eved, because there it's a schus for him. And that led us into the whole discussion that we went through yesterday about whether, in fact, the Mishnah, the Chachamim had mentioned the point that he could say, I don't want to support the Eved. And the question was, is that even if he's keeping the Eved's Ma'asi Yadayim? That was the whole discussion, earlier. So now, getting back to the Machlokas Reb Meir and the Chachamim about whether it's considered a schus or a choiv for an Eved to be freed. So Tanya, the Gemara says, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Elazar, Amarnu Loi LeMeir. We, the other Chachamim who disagree with Reb Meir, said to him, of course they're calling him Meir because he's their Chaver, they don't have to call him Reb. Anyway, they ask him, what do you mean that it's considered a Choyv, and therefore the master should be able to change his mind because the shliach hasn't been kone on behalf of the eved, because in chavin la'adam shalei b'fanav. Isn't it a schus, isn't it a good thing for an eved to be able to be free? Omalonu, and Reb Meir said to us, chovulai, on the contrary, it's a detriment to him, shim hoya eved koyin post them in atruma. Because after all, if he's an eved, if he belongs to a koyin, then now when his master, the koyin, is freeing him, then he becomes also to eat truma. Why does that mean anything? Ma ilu eved koyin shibarach. Consider, say the Chachamim to Reb Meir, what about if the slave or Kohen were to run away? I skipped a line. Omaunuloi, we said to him, Valoi ma'im yutishlo lezunev shalo the farnese rashtoi. After all, isn't it true that if the master doesn't want to support him or be farnese him, we learned yesterday, lezunev would mean basic food and the farnese would mean to give him his other needs. Rashoi, he would be allowed. For sure, if he's allowing the Eved to keep his Maisi Yadav. And then we had the whole discussion yesterday where we ended up saying it was Machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether he can do that even if he is keeping the Maisi Yadayim and telling the Eved, you go and beg for a living. Whatever the case, the point is, there are certainly cases where the master is not providing food for the Eved. So what are you going to say then? If you're saying the whole disadvantage to the Eved is that he loses the ability to eat truma that his master gives him, well, his master is not necessarily giving him food in the first place. So why are you considering that a detriment that he'd be freed? Omalonu, so the mayor answered to us, Uma ilu Eved koyin shabarach. Consider the case though, if an Eved of a koyin runs away from his master, the Ashes koyin shemorda al baila. Or for that matter, the wife of a Kohen who runs away from her husband, but they haven't actually been divorced yet. Haloi Uchlin Betruma. After all, don't they eat truma? Whereas this one is not going to be able to get to eat, as the Gemara is going to explain soon what he means by that. What he means is that the one who's freed, when he's freed, then he's not able to eat anymore. So what does Reb Meir mean to add by this point about a slave running away versus being freed? We'll see soon in the Gemara. But in any case, the point is that Reb Meir is saying that so far Reb Meir is still defending his position that there is a choiv in that regard. Aval isha choiv hula. So Reb Elazar says, now, we disagree with Reb Meir as far as an Eved. We hold that it's a benefit to the Eved to be freed. But we do agree with Reb Meir that with a wife, it is considered a choy for her that she gets divorced. She can't postle minat truma, because first of all, he makes her postle from he makes a posel from eating truma, because again, as now that she's divorced from the kohen, then she can't eat truma anymore. But in addition, also umafsidim in a mezonis, she also loses mezonis, because again, we learned before that even though with an eved you have the option of telling him I'm not going to give you mezonis, depending on what we discussed before, whether that's only if he's not keeping ma'aseh yadav, or even if he is. Whatever the case, the point is, though, he's still there are cases where he doesn't actually have to, where he doesn't have to actually support him. Whereas with a wife, it's not like that. He always has tznoi ksuba, is that he has to support her wife, that he has to support his wife. So Rashi explains that this part is the Chachamim telling Rav Meir, we do agree with you when it comes to an Isha, we just disagree when it comes to an Eved. Tosfos a little further at the top of the next Amud says that actually, no, this is all part of Rav Meir's statement. Rav Meir is saying to them, the same way as you'd agree to me with a wife that it's considered a choiv, you should agree to me also by an Eved, because after all, you have the same consideration that she's losing, that the Eved is losing Mizonis and Parnasa, just as a wife does. So that's the braisa. So now we have to figure out my ka'omrulay or my ka'mahadulahu. What was it exactly that the Chachamim are saying to Rav Meir that Rav Elazar is reporting, and what is he answering to them? In other words, when he says that if an eved koyan runs away, that he's still able to eat truma, how does that address any point we're making that he considers that to be a valid answer to defend his position? It means Rav Meir is saying to the Chachamim, hey Shavtuni al Mazonis. Fine, I can agree that you've answered me a valid answer as far as Mazonis, that given that there are cases where the master is able to say to the slave, I don't have to support you, whether we're talking about for sure if he allows the Eved to keep his Maisa Yadav, and even maybe according to the Yechanan, we said according to the Yechanan yesterday, and this is the Halacha, even if he does keep his Maisa Yadav, whatever the case, there certainly are such cases. So the Meir says, fine, I can concede that you have a point as far as that, therefore, being freed is not any more of a detriment to him as far as receiving Mazonis and Parnasa, because anyway, he wasn't necessarily guaranteed them to receive them. He wasn't necessarily guaranteed to receive them from the master. Mata Shivuni ala Truma. But Rav Meir says, what are you going to answer me as far as Truma? The fact is, wherever he is, he can eat Truma. As long as he hasn't been freed, whereas once he's freed, he can't eat Truma anymore. So therefore, you can argue that being freed is a detriment to him. So Tosfos explains, in other words, it's not just the fact that the master gives him truma and truma is cheaper than cholin. There's also, Rav Meir says, listen, even if the master doesn't want to support him, still the fact is an eved can, or if we assume that an eved can receive truma on his own, and Rav Meir holds that way. Now, you have a machlokas elsewhere in Shas. We learned in Ksubas, among others. Can you give, if an Eved comes to the granary where they give out, wherever it is they're giving out truma, can he get on his own, or can he only get when his master is with him? So there's a Gemara in Ksubas about it and other places that discusses that point. And yeah, you have different opinions about it. One way of looking at it is, sure, he is, after all, allowed to eat truma. Another way of looking at it, though, is no, because then people are going to think that he himself is a kohen, and they may mistakenly think that he's a kohen and think that he's a miyuchas, and people will intermarry with his family, where if he's an eved, of course, they're not supposed to. So anyway, the mayor, Tosfos says, could be holding that you are allowed to give the Eved by himself. We're not concerned about that concept called Milan Mitruma Leyuchsin, that based on the fact that he receives Truma, people may think he's a Miyuchus, because Rav Meir would hold that it's not so. You can't. The fact that a person received Truma is not good enough evidence to say that he's a Kohen Miyuchus. So that's the flow of Rav Meir's argument to the Chachamim. He's saying not only you have to consider what the master is giving him, and he's giving him truma, you have to consider that the slave himself has the ability to go and buy Truma as long as he's owned by the Kohen. And Truma is cheaper than Cholin. So therefore, the amount of money that he has will stretch with, let's say, for example, he does. Let's say we have, like we said yesterday, the master says to him, "Asei mi ve'en izonach, you're going to have to go beg for a living." Or let's say not. Or let's say we said that he allows the Eved to keep his Maisi Yadav. Whatever, the fact that he's able to now take that money and go and use it to buy Truma, and that allows him to stretch his money further. So isn't that so that's a good thing for him. And if he gets freed, he loses that whole concept. So then he's saying to Chachamim, so what answer do you have for that? And he continues, going back to the Gemara. V'chitemru, now you're going to answer, the answer is that after all, the being freed through a third party is not a choiv. You're going to say, after all, the master always has the ability to just throw him a get, bal korchai. After all, you don't need the Eved's consent in order to be freed. All you need is that he receives a get shichur, similar to a wife. And in that regard, it's similar to a wife's get, which we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, that also doesn't need to be with her consent, at least until Cherem Deir Ben Gershem. So therefore, all he needs to do, if he really wants to free this Eved, is throw him a get that'll land within his four amas, and presto, he's freed. So then you could say that. Giving it through a shliach is not any more of a detriment to the eved. Either way, the master always unilaterally has the right to parcel him from truma. Well, the answer is, on the contrary, the slave also has a unilateral thing that he could do. Shavikle. The slave could run away v'ozal alma and go someplace else, and he'll continue eating truma wherever he is. So therefore, as opposed to, again, when you give a get to a shliach, if you're going to say that the shliach is acquiring it on behalf of the eved, then it's causing him to lose that ability to do that. And so the mayor continues. That's what he means when he says in the Braisa, "Uma ilu eved koyin shabarach v'eshes koyin shemordal baila." In fact, by the way, Tosfos points out, why don't we have to be concerned that while he ran away, the master may sell him to somebody else? And the answer is, that's not very likely that he ran away and somebody's going to buy him sight unseen. So now the mayor continues, "Ma ilu eved koyin shabarach." So consider, just like if the eved of a koyin runs away, and the master now, therefore, is not able to give him a get shichur, and was saying that he's still able to eat truma, the eishes koyin shemordal baila, or a koyin's wife who rebels against her husband and runs away, in those cases, haloi oichlam b'truma, after all, don't they eat truma? So where is this one? When you give a get shichur, then he can't anymore. So therefore, the mayor says, I maintain that giving him a get shichur is worse for him, because you're saying, on the one hand, the master has the unilateral ability to take away his ability to eat truma by throwing him a get shichur. On the other hand, you could say the eved also has a unilateral ability to run away, and then the master can't find him to give him a get shichur. So now, on the other hand, if the master is giving somebody now suppose this eved ran away. So as far as he's concerned, good, you know, he's in a good situation. He's not having to work for his master, and he's able to eat truma. Now what happens is the master gives a get shichur to a shliach and tells him, you acquire it on behalf of the eved. So the mayor is arguing this is a choyv for the eved. Now it's taking away something that he had the ability until now to freely eat truma. So the question is, shapir karmalahu. Well, then, doesn't the mayor have a valid point? Then in that case, what do the chachamim have an answer to that? Now, based on what Tosfos is saying, the Chachamim could have answered that we hold, for example, that the Eved can't receive Truma when his master is not around, because Malin the Truma Liuchsin. On the other hand, though, the fact is that that's only according to some opinions, so then the other opinions that hold that Ein Malin the Truma Liuchsin would still have to, with the Tosfos mentions before, that Rabbi Yehuda in particular holds that way, so then you'd still have to explain, according to them, then why are they arguing with Rabbi Meir? Didn't he make a valid point? So the answer is Amar Rava Hainu de Kamahadri Levi Masnissin Mipneshu Kinyone. That's what the Mishnah means. We're back to our Mishnah. Here we were just quoting a Braisa where the Belozer explains the whole give and take between the mayor and the Chachamim. But now we turn back to the Mishnah and we have the Chachamim say to the mayor that the difference is Mipneshu Kinyone, because he belongs to the master. Now, what does that mean? Means the e boy, because if the master wants, even after he ran away. Shokla ba zuzim Yisrael. All he has to do is get 4 zuz from Yisrael. In other words, you're saying before that it's not likely that anybody is going to buy him sight unseen. But 4 zuz is not very much money. 4 zuz is a very small amount of money. It would be like nowadays you might say, I'll give him $1. In fact, the Gemara often uses 4 zuz to mean a very small amount of money. One thing is Rabbi Yosef Engel and Goyona Ashas points to a Gemara in Erchin that says that no person is ever going to be worth less than that, no matter how sick or weak he is. But b'chlal, 4 zuz is often used in the Gemara to mean an indefinite small amount. Anyway, the point is, the master could always get 4 zuz from a cooperative Yisrael, and in that way, he'll pass the Eved from eating Truma wherever he is. So therefore, in other words, the Chachamim are saying to the mayor, if you're thinking that the Eved has it good, he ran away, and he's still able to eat Truma indefinitely. In fact, it's not so. He's going to have to consider that at any moment, his master could sell him for a cheap price, and then he loses the ability to eat Truma. So therefore, there's nothing really for him to gain by having run away versus receiving a Shtar Shichru, and therefore there's no detriment in the Shtar Shichru. Therefore, we can go back to the idea that it's considered a schus for him and Zofim La'adam Shalevifana. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Ula Reb Meir. So now let's go back to the mayor's argument. So we're saying that receiving a get shichru, the mayor's argument is considered a detriment for the Eved because now he can't eat Truma. So, Tenach Eved Koyen, well, then that explains an Eved Koyen because then in that case you have the
Alexander.
Yeah.
Alexander, who's going to buy an Eved without seeing that Eved?
That was Tosfos's point at the end of the previous Amud, but now the Chachamim are saying, fine, to pay full price for him, anything resembling full price, obviously not. But to pay 4 zuz, which would be a very small amount of money, that a person might be willing to even sight unseen. Eventually, he figures the Eved is likely to come back. I think I've mentioned before, the idea, you know, like this, obviously we can have an Eved can run away when his master is treating him badly or whatever, but the fact is, the Eved may soon enough realize that he's really no better off being out over there without anybody knowing him, where in those days, especially, it was who you knew and what family you had in the area that made all the difference as far as how you're going to manage in life. And if you're a stranger in a strange land, you may have a very difficult time of it. So the Eved himself may eventually figure that, you know what, he's better off back with his Jewish master or with any Jewish master, especially compared to the way the Goyim treated their slaves in those days. So there is there is the possibility that somebody would be willing to pay 4 zuz for such a thing.
Very remote. Okay. I mean, very unlikely.
It's not so remote. Again, 4 zuz is not a lot of money. It would be like the equivalent of saying nowadays, I'll give you $1 for it. You know, people are willing to more freely give $1 even when it's a dubious deal. Fine. So the Gemara asked a little mayor, Tenach Eved Koyen. Okay, so all of this, the mayor's whole svara is based on the idea of Truma. So then that works with an Eved Koyen, Eved Yisrael Ma'ikol Meimer. What about an Eved of Yisrael, where Truma is not a factor? Why does the mayor say that they are also, the get shichru is a detriment for him? And the answer is, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok, Menashe Mafsida Shivcha Knanis. Because he makes him lose out that now he can't marry or have relations with a Shivcha Knanis anymore. So that's something, whether he's a slave of a Koyan or a Yisrael, that makes a difference. So the Gemara asks, Adraba Hareu Matirei Bevas Koyan. Yeah, but you could say that countervailing that, there is, on the other hand, now he becomes mutter to marry a woman that he wouldn't have been able to before. Before he was also to marry a regular Jewish woman, now he's mutter to. Mela, in other words, when it comes to the matter of Truma, you could say he's losing out the ability to eat Truma, and there's no benefit that he's gaining countervailing that, because at least according to the mayor, because after all, he was able to eat Chulin all the time, so it's not like now he gains an ability to eat Chulin that he didn't before. And as Tosfos pointed out before, Truma is cheaper than Chulin, so the fact that he's able to eat Truma means that he can stretch his budget further. But here, you're going to say he's losing one kind of woman that he can't marry anymore, but he's gaining a different one that he could marry. So doesn't it balance out? So the answer is, Avda behefkera nichale. You can say that an Eved prefers hefkeros. An Eved would prefer, Rameir saying, to stay as an Eved so that he can act in a hefkadika way. So therefore, a slave woman, a shivcha, is considered very degraded in his eyes. In other words, he figures, I don't even need to marry her. I can just have her. I can just have relations with her outside of marriage. Zilalei means he considers her degraded. I don't need to, you know, as the expression goes, make an honest woman of her by marrying her. I can just shack up with her. She's always available to him because she also wants this kind of hafkeiros. Pritzalei, and therefore she's available. Therefore, she acts with him in a pritzistic way. Whereas with a bas yisrael, he's not going to be able to do that because there it's an exclusive marriage. So the Eved would prefer that kind of lifestyle, says Reb Meir, and therefore to free him would be a detriment in a way that even if he was a slave of Israel. Now the Chachamim know that point also. However, the Chachamim say, on the other hand, the fact that he goes free, Tosfos explains that the fact that he goes free, still the Chachamim say that more than balances that out. Fact that he becomes the fact that now he's a free person, then that's something better. Tosfos also points out, by the way, that if he was a katan, where there he doesn't know this whole concept of pritzus yet, then it's true. Tosfos says maybe in fact you would say that Reb Meir would agree that he's an eved katan and he belongs to Yisrael, so you don't have the matter of truma and you don't have the matter of hefkeros. Then maybe in fact Reb Meir would agree that. That it is a schus for him to be free. But when it comes to an adult, then it would be different. The Maratz Chayus, by the way, points out a very interesting point in this regard. He says, this question he came across when he was younger. We know the Torah tells us if a master knocks out the eye or the tooth, or we're going to learn Kedushin in a few months, Bez Hashem, that any of 24 other major body parts off the Eved, then the Eved Knani, that is, as we're talking about throughout this whole sugya, then the Eved goes free. So what's the logic? If you're telling me, according to Reb Meir, that it's a bad thing for the Eved to be freed, so you're telling me the Torah is saying that the master did something bad for him by knocking out one of these body parts, and therefore you should compound and make things worse for the Eved by freeing him, what's the logic? So the Maratz Chayus says, because you have to realize the whole din only applies only if the master did it b'kavana. So therefore, fine, if you're going to say, if the master is being so mean like that, where he deliberately goes and knocks out an eye or tooth or what have you, then yeah, even the mayor is going to agree that an eved is better off without such a master. The fact that until now he had truma, if he was a slave of a kohen, or that he had free access to a shivcha, in the case of any eved, that if the master was going to be so mean as to knock out body parts of his, then that's more than made up. But not otherwise. The Torah Tmima then expands on that and says, yeah, but after all, you don't have to have that. We're going to learn in Kedushin, Bez Hashem. It doesn't have to be that the master deliberately intended to knock out the eye or the tooth. You have an example. It gives in the Gemara over there where, let's say the slave had a toothache. And he asks the master to go, the master is a dentist. So he asks him to take care of the tooth, and accidentally he causes it to fall out. So also the slave goes free. What are you going to say then? He's a similar idea. Look, if the master was going to be so careless, then the Eved maybe is better off without him as a master. And then you could say even Reb Meir would agree that's a schus for him. So in other words, the Torah is saying that it's a schus for him to go free, and therefore we have it in the case of Shein V'ayin. But you could argue that case is special and doesn't represent the typical interaction between a master and an Eved, where according to the mayor, the Eved is better off staying an Eved because he has certain advantages that he wouldn't have otherwise. We have to remember also, of course, you know, the way that the Rambam explains at the end of Hilchos Avodim, that even though in principle, a Yid is allowed to treat his Eved Kanani however he wants, with the exception of the Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, he's not allowed to beat him to death, essentially. But other than that, he can do with him whatever he wants. But nevertheless, Jews are Rachmonim, Bashanim, and Goyim Lechsadim, and they treat their Avodim nicely, or certainly a lot better than Goyim throughout the ages have treated theirs. All right, Mishnah says, new topic. Ha'oimer tnu get zele ishti. If a person says to some people, he says to Edim, give this get to my wife. Now, Rashi makes the point that the girsa is tnu in the plural, not tain in the singular. So meaning, in other words, we're not talking about like in the previous Mishnah where he has a get already written and he's giving it to a shliach to deliver. Rather, we're talking about that he's saying to two people, you write this get and you give it to, and then you give it to the party who's supposed to receive it, to my wife or to my eved. So now the question is, if they didn't manage to do it during the shtar shichur zela abdi, or if he says give the shtar shichur to my eved umes, and then he dies before they had a chance to do it, or rather the get was already written, but now he's saying tnu, as in you be the eidim asira in whose presence it will be given. So in the previous Mishnah, then the question was whether the shliach was already zoichen on behalf of the recipient. Here it's a different point. Here the question is whether it can still be in effect after the guy dies. So shtar shichur zela abdi umes. So either way, then the sender died. Lo yitnu la'achamisa. They can't give it after he dies. Because the get or the shtar shichur doesn't take effect until it actually reaches the person who it's meant for. What we said in the previous Mishnah was they can be zoicha in it on behalf of the other person to the extent that at least in the case of a shtar shichur, according to the Chachamim, that he can't rescind it, that he can't rescind the shlichus. But nevertheless, the shtar shichur or the get takes effect only when it's actually delivered to them. And then at that point already, the guy is dead and his reshus is over. So therefore, they can't do that. Later on in the Masechta, we're gonna learn the concept, get la'achamisa. The whole concept of a get doesn't apply after the guy is dead. And similarly with a shtar shich. On the other hand, if he says tnu money l'ish pleni umes, on the other hand, if he tells them give a money to so and so, and then he dies, yitnu la'achamisa, then they can still give it even after he died, because that shlichus still exists even after he died. Tosfos discusses some of the ins and outs of this, which we're going to deal with in the Gemara. The matter of ein get la'achamisa versus why is it that the mana works? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel by Marta Meshmei the Rab v'hush tzvurun umunachin bekeren zavis. This that we're saying as far as the last part. So the first part, as far as that you don't give the get or the shtar shichur la'achamisa. So fine, the Gemara is not really dealing with that so much yet. That point about in get la'achamisa, we're going to deal with in more detail later on in the Masechta. But here we're going to focus on the part where we're saying that if he tells him give him a money to so and so, then we do it la'achamisa. Now the question is, how does that work? So, only if that money is piled up and placed in a particular corner, and he says, give this money to Pliny. But not in other words, if he's just telling them, take a money out of my possessions and give it to Pliny, not necessarily does that take place la'achamisa. Well, the question is, b'maya skinan? Well, then we have to figure out what is this. What's the case? What's the scenario? Ilema b'bori. Are we talking about where the guy is completely healthy when he gives these instructions? Kitzvurim my habi. So, what does it matter? Whether they're piled up in a corner or not? The fact is, the other guy is not koinet until he does meshicha, or some other form of kinyan. Halei Moshach. The fact is, he hasn't done Meshicha, so he hasn't been koineh yet. So in that case, the Yoshim would have every right to say that no, we don't want we. So let's say, for example, the guy was bori and he did it. Then unexpectedly he died before they had a chance to give the money. Why don't the Yoshim have the right to say, look, you weren't koineh yet. We're not obligated to give it to you. So Tosfos points out now there is a concept that the Gemara mentions in a couple of other places called the Meir holds mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, that it is a mitzvah, even aside from the whole question of bori and shchiv mara that we're now going to get into, there is a mitzvah to fulfill what the person said before he died. So in that case, then we could say very well that we're talking about he was a bori. There was no kinyan. Nevertheless, mitzvah l'chaim diramis. However, Tosfos says that's true, but that would require us to say that this Mishnah is only according to the mayor, and we don't really want to do that. The Chachamim, after all, disagree with the mayor. We do often say stam Mishnah to mayor, but that really means, in other words, the wording of the Mishnah is more according to the mayor. The concept that it says in a stam Mishnah, we usually would like to assume, is agreed to by all the Chachamim. So here, since they disagree and say that it's not that, and we don't want to say mitzvah, they don't hold a mitzvah l'chaim divrei ames, then by the same token, the Mishnah didn't want to do that. The Gemara didn't want to do that over here. Okay. Also then Tosfos goes to point out that Tosfos further discusses actually that the whole point of mitzvah l'chaim divrei ames only applies when it was already deposited with a third party for that person. So you have a third, before the person died, at some point, even let's say he was a body, he appointed an apotropos, so he appointed some kind of trustee or whatever to manage things. And now afterwards, then the one who gave that died, then we can say mitzvah meyer, would say mitzvah l'chaim divrei ames. But here, where it wasn't even given to a shalosh, it's still completely in his possession. Even a meyer says Rabbi Tam may not hold of mitzvah l'chaim divrei ames.
And you could also apply the Zachen Laden.
Zachen Laden shall I be fun of, that's all fine. But if somebody has to be Zochid on his behalf, like this, there was no Zachia done yet. He said, Tnu Monazella Pliny. He didn't actually give it to them. So
they get a woman, they're giving her a get, she won't have to deal with the Yibamas.
Right, but no, that's true. But he has to at least, in this case, in other words, the get, or the Shtar Shichur was written, but it hasn't been delivered yet. And since Ein Get La'acha Misa, then they can't deliver it after he dies and have it to be effective to pater her from Yibum. But on the other hand, we're saying that with a mona the Ploini, we're saying that it does. So again, the question is, if the guy is a Bori, doesn't there need to have been a kinyan? The Ela B'Shchiv Marah. So you're going to say then that, so you're going to talk about that our Mishnah is talking about a Shchiv Marah, a person who's on his deathbed. And then we know the rule is that whatever he says goes. So then my ear gets swurin. So then what's the difference? So why do we need to specifically say the case that the money was piled up? He ain't swurin nami. The same din would apply even if it wasn't piled, even if he just said give a mana without it being delineated which mana. We know for a fact that the words of a shchid merah, it's an accepted thing in halacha, are considered as though they're written and given. So even though no kinyan was done, so what is the scenario that Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Shmuel Bar Marta is telling us in the name of Rav, where when would the case of the Mishnah work only if Tzvurin Umunachim? If he was a Bari, then even Tzvurin Umunachim doesn't help. And if he's a Shchid Merah, you don't need it. So what's the case? So the answer is Amar Rav Zvid, La'olam the Bari. We can actually be talking about that. We can actually be talking about that he was healthy when he gave this instruction. The reason why it works is based on what Rav Huna says. The Omer of Huna Omer Rav, V'chidrav Huna Omer Rav, the Omer of Huna Omer Rav, mana li biyodcha. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a mana, and Shimon and he says tnei ulo l'ploini, and he says give it to Ploini instead of paying me, pay Levi. The maimad shloshdan, and this takes place in the presence of all three of them. Kona. So now Levi is kona that, for reasons that the Gemara is going to go on to explain. The Gemara is going to get into this whole concept of maimad shloshdan. So in other words, it's possible. So again, the debt was originally owed to Reuven. Now, how does it get transferred to Levi that now he has the ability to collect it is by all three of them being present, Reuven the lender, Shimon the borrower, and Levi the third party that Reuven wants to transfer the debt to. Now he can do that verbally. It's called Maimad Shloshtam. And now Shimon owes that money to Levi instead of to Reuven. So that would be the case. So in other words, now Rav Zvid holds though that the Gemara is going to discuss further on whether this concept applies with a loan or only with a pikadon. So now, because after all, pikadon you have, it's there obviously in the guy's house. You deposited something for safekeeping with him, and it should still be there unless he was careless. On the other hand, a loan, not necessarily. Milvel Hoitzan, a loan is meant to be spent. The money doesn't necessarily exist, and the guy may even default on the loan. So therefore, Rav Zvir holds that Rav's din Rav Zvir holds that Rav's din of Maimed Shloshtan applies only by Pikadon. So therefore, by the same token, in order for it to work with the money of our Mishnah, it would have to be that the money was placed in a corner that was delineated. It's this particular money that's going to be given to the other guy. So that's the equivalent of a Pikadon then, as opposed to if he just says give a mana and there's no specific mana set aside for it, then it's more like a milva, and Rav Zvir holds Maimed Shloshtan wouldn't work for that. Okay, Rapapa Amala Olam B'Shchivmana. Rapapa says a different answer. You could say that after all, our Mishnah is talking about a Shchivmana, and that Rav still says it has to be Tzvorin. Ah, you're saying, what about Divrei Shchivmana K'Tzvorin V'Chimasurin? V'Chid Idach the Rav. The reason would be based on another statement of Rav. The Amar Rav, Monezeh Noisnim. Rav says that even when a Shchivmana says, if he says this particular money you should give, then we give it. If he says give a mana to Pliny from my nechassim, mana zen noistin. If he says this particular mana, then we give it. Mana stam a noistin. But if he says just a mana, then we don't have to give it. Chayshin and shema mana cover kamar, because we have to be concerned that maybe he meant a mana that he has buried in the ground. In other words, not necessarily are we talking about that he's saying give any mana to somebody. He means one particular mana that I have buried in the ground in such and such a place. From now on, I want to belong to that guy. Well, we don't know where that is. So therefore, the Yoshim have every right to say, no, not necessarily did our father mean mean any mana from our possessions. He meant this mana cover. Fine, if you find that mana cover, gesunte hate, you can have it, but go look for it. So therefore, so the Papa says that even by Matnas Shchivmana, in short, you need Tzvurin, and that would explain Rav's statement at the beginning of the Gemara that you need Tzvurin. It needs to be piled up, because otherwise there's mana cover. However, the Gemara says, however, the halacha is we're not concerned about that. We don't have to worry when a Shchivmana says, give a mana, that he may mean a mana cover. We say that he means a mana that actually exists right there, Ba'ain, and therefore the guy can now come to the Yoshim and say, it doesn't matter, mana cover is not a factor. Give me a mana from your father's possessions, whatever mana it is, because that's what your father said, and divish shchivmanak k'suvin v'chimisurin. When we gave the answer before, when Rav Huna gave the answer, we're talking about, so we have two answers. So again, we have Rav Papa's answer, and we have Rav Zvid's. We have Rav Zvid's answer that we're talking about a bori in our Mishnah, and that's when we need tzvurin. And we have Rav Papa's answer that even by Shchivmana, we have a case where we need tzvurin. Going back a second to Rav Huna's explanation, Rav Huna's statement about Maimed Shloshtan. So if we're saying Rav Zvid's understanding that our Mishnah is telling us the din of Maimed Shloshtan, so in that case, so the Pnei Yeshua points out why didn't the Mishnah just tell us the regular case of Maimed Shloshtan? Why specifically talking about a case where it's going to be given after he died? And he says, because you would think it's only a takonis chachamim, so maybe it's only obligatory on the one who gives it. Maybe the yisomim can change their mind. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that Maimed Shloshtan is powerful enough that even the yisomim can't rescind it. So the Gemara says, Rapapa my time like Omak Rav Zvid. Now, why doesn't Rapapa agree with Rav Zvid and say that we're talking about in the Mishnah Bori? Why does he have to say that it's talking about Shchivmana, and that we're concerned about a mana cover, and therefore it has to be tzvorin, therefore it has to be piled? And the reason is Chasavah Rapapa, because Rapapa holds Ki Omer Rav Loishna B'Milva Loishna B'Mikadon, because he holds that Rav's din about Maimed Shloshtan applies whether to a loan or whether to a Pikadon. So therefore, so it doesn't matter whether the money is available right now, even though a loan is milva lahitzah nitna, and the money is not necessarily available right now, Rav still holds that it's valid to transfer it to Levi with Maimed Shloshtan. Therefore, a papa is not able to say that Rav's first statement that required that it should be tzvurin should be talking about Maimed Shloshtan, because for Maimed Shloshtan, you don't need tzvurin. You don't need it to be piled up. And Tosfos also adds that Tosfos also adds that he didn't want to explain that the Mishnah itself is talking about Maimed Shlosh, and it doesn't seem to him that the Mishnah is talking about such a case. Rav Zvid my time like Omakura Papa, and vice versa. Why doesn't Rav Zvid want to learn like Rav Papa that we're talking about a Shchid Mera? Now, of course, you do have the point that Gemara said before, that Rav Papa's opinion depends on holding that there's a difference between mona cover or not. The Gemara could easily answer Rav Zvid doesn't hold of that concept, which in fact we said the halacha is not like it, but the Gemara wants to give a different reason. The Gemara wants to find a different, more basic reason why Rav Zvid doesn't say like that. And the reason is loy mitoik masnis in b'shrivmanah. Rav Zvid says because you can't possibly say that the Mishnah is talking about shrivmanah min mai. Why is that? Mit katoni hoy matnu get zelishdi u'shtar shlichuzel avdi. Because look at the beginning of the Mishnah. It's saying that if he says give this get to my wife or give this shtar shlichu to my eved u'mes and then he dies lo yitnu la'achamisa. So we say they can't give it after he dies. So the implication is time of the mess. Now, why don't you give it? Only because he's dead and get la'achamisa. Homichayim. So the obvious implication is that if he's still alive, then they could give it. Now, the point is that you don't need to ask him when he said tnu in this case, you don't need to ask him, do you want us to actually do it? You don't need to confirm with him, basically, which we're going to talk about later in the Masechta. You can have a case where a person says, kisvu, a person says, give, write a get for my wife. We don't necessarily say that it means tnu unless we specifically ask him. So here we're saying, the Mishnah is saying you don't need to ask him again. And time and omat tnu, and that would only be, again, that would only be if he says tnu, only if he says give. Holoi omat tnu ein noisnin. So the implication would be that if he didn't actually say the word tnu, if he just said write the get, ein noisnin, then you can't give it, even when he's still alive, because you have to check with him whether he may have meant to just write it and keep it for later on, just in case he didn't necessarily say to give it. Now, now when it comes to a shrivmana, the fact is, even if he doesn't say tnu, the fact is you still, once he said kisvu, that's reason enough to give it. And you still go ahead and do it. So in other words, Reb Zvid would say, when you look at the structure of our Mishnah, and it's saying that he said, tnu get zela ishti, and we're saying, lo yitnu la'achamisa, if you're telling me that it's talking about a shrivmana, then he wouldn't have to, and so he wouldn't have to say tnu. Even if we would have said only kisvu would be good enough. All it would mean is fine. We can't do it la'achamisa, but as long as he's alive, once he has said kisvu, that ought to be good enough. Ditnan, as we learn later in our Masechta. But ishoinu hayu oimrim. Originally, the Chachamim used to say hayotze v'koilo, that if a person is being taken out in chains, a koilo particularly is a chain that they would put around the person's neck. In those days, the way that the Goyish governments work, when a person had like that, when he's being taken out in chain, a chain around his neck, it means he's being taken out to be executed. So therefore, he's soon going to be a goner. And there's discussion among Rishonim. Are we talking about only when it's dinin nefoshes? Is it possible even that it applies? The Rashba brings from Yerushalmi that it may even be where there's a financial penalty only. But let's say the way that the justice system worked then, we could wind up being executed. Whatever the case, anyway. So originally they said that Hayotze Bekolo, somebody was being taken out like that to be executed. The Omar kisvu get leishdi, and he says before he's executed, write a get for my wife. Harele yichtavu b'yitnu. Then they can write it and give it. They don't have to check with him whether he meant to give it, because obviously he meant to do it as soon as possible before he gets killed. Then later on, the Chachamim changed their mind and said, not only in that case, afam afarish, also when a person is going on a sea voyage where he may end up, the ship may end up sinking, vayotze b'shiyara, or if he's going in a caravan to cross the desert, all of those are dangerous situations where we can assume that when he said to write a get, he means to give it as well, because he doesn't want to take the chances. So in all those cases, it means when he said kisvu, means he's making them a shliach not only to write the get but also to deliver it. And Reb Shimon Shazuri oimer afa masukan. And Reb Shimon Shazuri says also a person who is dangerously ill, a shrivmana, or a person who is otherwise dangerously ill. So then Reb Shimon Shazuri says that also In other words, the point is like this. Why do we say that if he says only kisvu and not tnu, it's not only because he's thinking I may as well save it for later. The point is also he may be essentially trying to play a practical joke on the other person. You're thinking you're about to get your get or your shtar shichur. No, I'm going to write it and then I'm going to hold it by me. But when a person is about to, when a person is in these situations, he's not going to joke like that. He's not going to play games. So therefore, Rav Shimon Chazori says, also a masukah, and then also, he obviously means that the get should be given, and that way shall be potter from Yibum. So if we assume that our Mishnah goes also according to Rav Shimon Chazori, then obviously in our Mishnah then, the fact that we inferred from the Mishnah that only when he says tnu can you give it, but not when he says kisvu, then it wouldn't fit with Rav Shimon Chazori's opinion. Therefore, says Reb Zvid, that makes us say that the Mishnah cannot be talking about a shtibna. It has to be talking about a bari. And therefore, that brings us back to Reb Zvid's point before on Amud Aleph, that only when he's a bari, when he's a bari, then the money has to be piled up in a corner in order for him, that the fact that he said tnu to be valid and that they should do it lachamisa. But if it hadn't been piled in a corner, if it hadn't been delineated that it's this particular money, then by a bari it wouldn't be effective. Because a bari, of course, we don't say that whatever he says is considered as though it's written and signed. However, but Rav Ashi says, why does Reb Zvid have to assume that? Uman name alone de masnissin Reb Shimon Chazori. After all, who says our Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon Chazori? Doma Rabbanani. After all, it could equally well go according to the Chachamim, where they only say the cases where a person is about to be executed or going on a boat or going on a caravan, not the regular case of Shchivmara. So therefore, where he figures, after all, he will have more time to say tnu. In other words, the point is also it's not just a matter of making a joke. It's also that in these cases, even though he only said kisvu, we have every right to assume that he meant tnu as well, and just he was in a panic and he forgot to say it. The Chacham was saying, you don't necessarily have that. After all, he's lying peacefully on his bed. He's weak and he's going to die soon, but he's not necessarily in such a panic that he would forget to say tnu. So therefore, our Mishnah could very well go according to them. And so there's no proof against what Rav Papa is saying that it could refer to a Shchivmara. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to get back. So fine. So we have two ways of explaining our Mishnah. Now we're going to go and analyze this matter of Maimad Shlosh in more detail. So Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar of Huna Amar Rav, Manali B'yadcha, if Reuven says the money that you owe me, that you, Shimon, owe me, Tnei Uloi L'Ploini, instead give it to Ploini, give it to Levi, but Maimad Shloshtan, if that takes place in Maimad Shloshtan, all three of them are present, Kona, then he's Koina. Different Achroinim, by the way, talk about a point. Why did the Chacham, the Gemara is going to end up saying that the Chacham made this Takana, but why did they need to do that? Wouldn't there be another possibility? You could have what's called in Halacha Odisa, which means admitting. In other words, all Reuven has to do is say, I admit that this money belongs to Levi, and then therefore, now that's considered Hadas Baal Din Kamei Edim Dami. Or maybe not. That's what we're going to discuss. Do you need Edim or not? So therefore, and that would work.
You don't have to have all three now.
And then you don't have to have all three. So the Maharshal says that's true, but on the other hand, the fact is it would be a falsehood and midvar shekhar tirchak, and then we don't want to have such a thing. Better to do maimed shloshtan where there's no lying involved. The Maharshal makes it because he's saying I admit that this money belongs to Levi, but it doesn't. Until now, it didn't belong to Levi. Right now, he's deciding that it should belong to Levi. We're not talking about that Reuven owed money to Levi before. Oh. If Reuven in fact owed money to Levi, that would be a different thing. That would be shibuda de Rabnasin. There you have a concept that the one mentions in Ksubas and in some other places that if Shimon owes money to Reuven and Reuven owes to Levi, then automatically Levi is considered a Baal Din of Shimon and he can go to Shimon and say, pay me the money. But here we're not talking about that. Reuven doesn't necessarily owe anything to Levi right now. So therefore, to do Odisa, to say this money belongs to Levi would be a falsehood. So, and midvar sheker tirchak. That's Maharshal explains. Maharshal makes another point as well. You would need edim for an edisa. So like this, it's true. You could do it with edim, but it would be a hassle maybe to get together edim. So therefore, much easier to do it this way. And then you don't need Edim. And a couple of the county aim there on the Marashah and Maharam Shif make another point as well, that the advantage of Maimad Shloshdan, it means also, since the Gemara is going to say, it also refers to a Pekodin, it now transfers not only the ownership of the Pekodin, it also transfers the responsibility that Shimon had to guard the Pekodin. Now he's responsible to Levi, where until now he was responsible to Reuven. Without, if you just had Odista, if he says, I admit that this belongs to Levi, that still wouldn't transfer the own, that still would transfer the ownership of it, maybe, but not necessarily the responsibility of the Shmira for it. If Shimon now was careless with the Bekadin, not necessarily would he be answerable to Levi, he might still be answerable only to Reuven. But now, with Maimed Shloshdan, then it's not like that. Okay. So fine. So Maimed Shloshdan, Omar Rova, Mistabra Milse de Rab Bekadin. So Rav says it's more logical to understand that Rav's statement that Maimed Shloshdan work is only by Pekodin, because then after all, the money is there be'ein. He deposited it with him. It's there. It's obviously there. So therefore, he can be makneh. So in this sense, he can anyway be makneh with other kinds of kinyonim. So then the Chachamim said to get made up this concept of a verbal kinyon as well with Maimed Shloshdan. But Rav says, Rava says, on the face of it, with a loan, where the loan doesn't exist, be'ain, then maybe not, because after all, the money doesn't exist. So therefore, what is there to be machna? But Kim, but he says, I swear, but by Hashem's name, Omar Rav, a filib a milva, that the fact is, Rav did say it applies even by a milva. So even though there may not be a logical reason behind it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, nonetheless, the Chachamim made the takana that it applies by milva as well. Now, so before we said that Rav Zvid doesn't hold of that, Rav Zvid would hold that Rav was saying only by Pekodin. But now we're saying that the Rav is saying the fact is Rav did say it by Pekodin as well. I'm a Rav, a filib a milva. Yeah, itma nami. In fact, it was said also that there's machloikas amiroim on this. Omer Shmuel mishmei de Levi, that Shmuel says in the name of Levi, milva libiyotcha, that if Reuven says to Shimon, there's a milva that I lent you, and it's still in you and it's still in your possession. Tnehu lo leploini b'maimed shloshdan. Tnehu lo leploini, give it to Levi, and this was b'maimed shloshdan. It took place in the presence of the three of them. Kona, then he's kona. So we see that Shmuel also holds like what. So even though Rav didn't specify whether he was talking about a milva or a pekodin, and it takes Rava to tell us that he did, Shmuel clearly says that it applies to a milva as well. Well, the Gemara asks, for time am I? Well, what is the reason behind it? Why should that work? The money doesn't actually exist, be'ain. So why should so how can it be makna something that doesn't exist? Omer Amemer, Nasa Ko'imala B'shas Matan Mos, because it's the equivalent of that Shimon says to Reuven, when Reuven gives him the money for the loan, Shabad Naloch L'didoch L'chol D'osu Mechamosach. I am accepting on myself a shibud to you as well as to anybody who comes from your koyach. So anybody who comes and demands the debt based on your koyach, Then when Reuven is transferring the loan to Levi, very well, now Levi is coming from Reuven's koyach. How is he owed the money? Because Reuven transferred the debt to him. Therefore, it works to begin with that Shimon accepted on himself implicitly that there was going to be this shibud to Levi as well. That's what we're talking about, Maimed Shloshdan, yeah. So by that logic, if you're telling me that it depends on an implicit t'nai that was made at the time, then what about if the Maimed Shloshdan was done to somebody who was born only afterwards, and that person did not exist yet at the time when the money was given? Are you going to say that he's not Kona, that Maimed Shloshdan doesn't work in that case? After all, you can't accept the Shibud to somebody who doesn't exist yet. When you say that would mean only people who exist in the world at this time, not people who only come into existence later. And dafilu le Rameir, after all, even according to Rameir, drama odem machna dovash le bala olam. Rameir says you can be machna something that doesn't exist yet. For example, Rameir says you can be machna fruit of a tree or fish that will be caught in a net that haven't yet grown or haven't yet been caught. Fine, but that has to be that the recipient is somebody who already exists in the world. Not somebody who doesn't exist in the world yet. So if you're going to say that, that it depends on an implicit thing like that, then how is Maimed Shloshtin going to work when the recipient was not born yet at the time when the milva took place? So Ella Amar Rav Ashi, Bahi Hanod, Kamishtanyale, Ben Milva Yeshana, Milva Chadasha. No, what it is he has the Hana that the Loive gains from the fact that the Choiv is given to somebody else, because now it changes from an old loan to a new loan. Because now, when is the time that he has to pay it back? The clock resets. Now that the debt was transferred. So therefore, Gomo Meshabed Nafshe, so because of that, he's willing to be Meshabed himself from now on. So not like Amemo was saying that it's an implicit Tanai when the loan was taken out. Now, when the Maimed Shloshtin is taking place, he's willing to accept on himself a new Shibud to Levi in return for the fact that he's getting extra time to pay back the loan.
You know, not discussing time.
They're not discussing the time, but implicitly there's something in there where now Levi is not going to be able to demand the debt right away. Usually the Gemara explains elsewhere that you have a loan by default is assumed to be for at least 30 days. So therefore, so he gains at least that. However, well, by that logic, you're telling me that it depends on the loiva gaining from it. What about you have people from the household of Baro Yoshiv, where this was a tough kind of guy? He doesn't wait for payment. They will even tie people up and force them to pay back right away. As soon as the time is up, they're not going to give any extra time. Are you going to say in that case that a debt to them is not, or that they are not be able to be coin with Maimed Shloshtin because now the loiver is not gaining anything? You're going to say maybe yes, maybe with Baro Yoshiv, Maimed Shloshtin doesn't work. Can't. Then in that case, you're making things variable. Takonis Chachamim has to be something more general. You can't make a Takonis Chachamim that applies only to certain people and not other people. Rather, Mazutra says there were three dinim, and this is the first one, and we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara what the other two are, that the Chachamim made them like a halacha without a reason. In other words, as if it was a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, you don't need to give a reason, so therefore it doesn't matter whether in fact we can find a logical reason why Maimed Shloshtin worked. The fact is it works. The Chachamim, Tosfos explains, we don't mean that the Chachamim had no reason to make the Takana at all. Of course they did. The reason is so that you don't have to, this way, the Malva doesn't have to bother going and making a Kinyan. This way you can just have the three of them gathered together and he can transfer the debt verbally. So the Chachamim had good reason to make the Takana. But what we're saying is, even when we can't find a logical reason why it should work, what's the mechanism by which it works, nevertheless, the Takana Chachamim is that it does work. That's what we mean, Hilchsa B'loy Taim. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with dealing with the other two. What are the other two things that the Chum made? Keoch Sabloi Taima. Tosfos discusses over here a number of details of the ins and outs of Maimed Shloshtin. For one thing, we know that there's a concept that if Reuven sells a Shtar Chayv to Levi, now you can have where money is owed to Reuven and he has a Shtar Chayv and he goes and sells the Shtar Chayv to Levi. The din is that, what?
Discount the price.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. The din is that Reuven later on is able to be moichel that debt. That's causing that he's causing a damage to Levi. Nevertheless, it works. He's able to be moichel the debt. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about whether we penalize Reuven for that. But anyway, the point is, because you have to really call the Nezek to Levi, but the point is, in other words, that he does have the ability to do that. On the other hand, Tosfos says over here, when it comes to Maimed Shloshtin, then no, he does not have the ability to be moichel that debt. Once he transferred it with Maimed Shloshtin to Levi, then Reuven has no ability anymore to cancel the debt.
No, but I mean, if he owes him $100 and with doing that, he's done with the $100 he owes him, who cares if he...
Again, if Reuven previously owed money to Levi, that would be different. And that's what we said before. That's Shibud de Rab Nosson. then we would automatically say we don't even need Maimon Shloshim. Automatically, Shimon would owe the money to Levi because he owes to Reuven, who in turn owes the same amount to Levi. But here we're talking about Reuven doesn't owe the money to Levi in the first place. For whatever reason, he wants to give Levi a gift or whatever it is. Anyway, So now they're doing Maimon Shloshim, but unlike the case where Reuven would sell the Shtar Chayv to Levi, where then he can be Meichel it, here Tosfa says that Reuven does not have the ability to rescind, to cancel that debt. Also, Tosfos goes on to say that the whole concept of Maimed Shloshtan only applies if the loiva or the shomer is a Jew. It doesn't apply if there's a goy, because then the concept of zechia doesn't apply to goyim. And then he goes on to talk about what about if one of the other parties is a goy. So Tosfos discusses the various scenarios when it would work and when not. So again, we'll continue tomorrow in the Gemara Bas Hashem with discussing what the other two things are that are hilchsa b'loy taima, and then we'll continue talking about this matter of Maimed Shloshtan and other related matters of Dinim Mamonos.